Mary, what do we do in a situation like this? So I'm so grateful for the messages that are coming out from the pulpit in all different places that is bringing hope and clarity and faith into the hearts of people. That's why it's important for us to gather like this. That's why it's important for us to follow services, after services, because that's where you're going to get the answer. Listen, you are not going to get it from the world. The world will give you such confusing news. Come on. You get 3-4 doctors telling you why it is necessary and why it is safe for you to take it. Then you find another few experts who are coming out and saying why you should not take it. And so there's these two things. And one moment you say, yeah, I should go and register. Then before you can register yourself on MySejahtera, whatever, the next news comes in and you become to get frightened and call up one another. So what do you think, huh? Especially people like my age. After all, how long we got to live? Why bother go and take? Do I plan to travel around the world? Answer is yes. I don't know. But why go and do all this? Is it bad? Is it good? And so even in the Christian, I'm talking about the Christian world. The Christians themselves are becoming very confused. So clarity needs to come from the presence of the Lord. Come on, amen. Amen. All right, so God comes through with a few things, few instructions. The one who is leading you, even though I don't feel him, he is still leading me. Even if I don't see him, he's still leading me. It says, God led them by the long route and deliberately had them hemmed in by the wilderness. So now they are absolutely helpless. And that's the way God sometimes leads us so that we can turn to him and say, God, speak to me. And how many of you are glad that God still speaks to us? God still speaks in different ways. He brings so much of comfort into our hearts and into our lives. So here are the instructions. Let me try to go as quickly as possible. All right, number one, the first thing is he says, stay courageous. Stay courageous. Do not be afraid, verse 13. Why? Because in verse 10, it says they were terrified. Whenever God says, don't be afraid, it means that they are afraid. Come on, amen. When he said to Joshua, do not be afraid, be very courageous, it meant that Joshua was not courageous. He was discouraged. So he had to be encouraged. He had to have courage infused. The word en is in. Courage to have bonus, to be in. Let courage be inside of you, encouraged. And he was discouraged. So someone said, you know, there are 365 fear nots in the Bible, do not be afraid in the Bible. Some say there are 366, one for every day of the year. But I'm sorry to disappoint you, there are only 108. But the point is, it is the most repetitive commandment in the Bible. Why? Because God knows our makeup. The slightest thing happens and we become very afraid. Now, faith and fear are the same thing. I've said this before. Faith is believing that the things you have not seen will come to pass. Amen. I believe it. And so I will see this come to pass. Fear is believing that what you do not see will come to pass. Same thing. It's just that faith attracts God and the positive. Fear attracts the enemy and the negative. I'm sure you heard the story about this lady, you know. This couple married many, many years, and every time there's a sound downstairs, the wife will say, there's a burglar in the house. Go and check. Husband will say, listen, it's okay, just sleep. It's just maybe a cat or maybe a rat. I don't know, but just sleep. Like, it's okay. No, go and check. So she wake him up, he'll get up, he'll go downstairs. Every time there's a sound, she wake him up. So he has to get up. Got burglar downstairs. So he'll go downstairs. So one day he came downstairs, turned on the light, and there was a burglar. And the burglar got frightened, and he got frightened. Then he looked at the burglar, and the burglar was about to run. He said, wait. Please, wait. Come upstairs. I want to introduce you to my wife. She has been waiting for you for 10 years. The thing, Job said, that I feared the most has happened to me. So I pray that you and I will be wise enough to understand we have got to shift from fear to faith. We do get frightened. Even David, the great giant slayer, said this, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. Later on, the other writer says, I will trust in you and not be afraid. Amen. Huh? But the first thing is be courageous. The second thing he says is stand still. Another translation, verse 13. Stand still. Stop being so fidgety. Stop being, you know, some people suffer from what I call, you know, when the kids are doing things and moving down. I said, why? You got ants in the pants. Kind of thing. You know, I mean, like, you cannot sit down. Sit down a little bit, get up. Have you met people like that? Non-stop. They'll sit down, get up, go to the fridge, get down, come back, sit down again, sit, watch TV, then get up, go and do something, come back. Now stop looking at one another, all right? I'm just saying. they're just so fidgety. And so what happens is when they get bad news like this, you know, they are so faithful in checking the latest news. Today, how many people... Yesterday was 1,004. Today, how many? I wonder whether the borders can be open. They are more faithful in looking at this news than the Bible. And you wonder why they are confused, why they are in conflict all of the time. Because, you know, we cannot stay still. We've got to keep on. So God is saying, listen, stay still. I'm sure you've all heard of the Chicken Little syndrome, right? Among Christians. Something happens. Oh, this is the end times. Jesus is coming soon. This is one of the things that's taking place in the world. COVID is something, you know, is preparation for the second coming. So if you get the vaccination, you get 666. It's the mark of the Antichrist. Do not take the mark. Heard that not? Heard before not? So don't take the vaccination because the vaccination got something inside. They put inside your hand. The moment they put inside your hand, you have got the mark of 666. So don't take the vaccination. Christians, instead of spreading hope and encouragement, they are spreading fear. They are adding to the fear of the people. Y'all know, not y'all don't. And they are telling unbelievers. You remember there was a can. I do not know what drink it is. They got three marks coming down like a scratch. Have you seen that one? Have you seen that one? Like three green marks coming down. Like somebody said, that is actually the mark of the devil. It's 666. Antichrist. Don't drink that drink. The moment you drink, you're part of the Antichrist. And Christians, living in such fear. And so everything, that Chicken Little, the moment something falls out, the sky is falling kind of thing. Come on, man. We are supposed to be promoting faith. Come on, amen. I call those people wonderful people in a wrong sense. You know, because they're always wondering whether Christ is coming now. Second coming, they're all wondering who is the Antichrist. I think it is Bill Gates. Okay? If you think it is, he's not the one, don't worry. He's a good man. Okay, whatever it is, people say, he's not the one. All right, number three, see God's hand. Verse 13, see the salvation of the Lord. Remember, he is leading. Are you a child of God? Then He is leading you. He has never let go of your hand. He is still holding. That's why I like that song, Waymaker, because He will never, I don't feel Him, but He is there. I don't see Him. He is there. He has never left you, man. Somebody said the right translation, you know, when Jesus said to the disciples, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The word I will never leave you is five times. I will never, 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 never leave you. Why you need five times? One time not enough. No, I will never leave you. Really? Never. Sure not. I will never. We keep asking again and again and again. So five times he has to say, I will never, 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 never leave you. Enough and all. All five fingers out to hold your hand. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Come on, amen? He will never leave us, nor forsake us. See God's hand in everything that he has done. If he made a promise to the Israelites, I am bringing you into the promised land, will he fulfill it? When God makes a promise, it is a yes and an amen. He will bring you to the end of the road. Church, you and I have got a Bible, and the Bible tells us that we are winners at the end. We don't lose. Revelation clearly declares that we are winners. God knows our future. And there is nothing that the enemy can plan and outthink God. He can never. In a chess game, the enemy moves one, God moves one, the enemy moves the second one, God checkmates him. I mean, it's just so fast. God just, you move and then you start thinking, God just moved, ding, next move. God is so fast because God's thoughts are way beyond our thoughts. Number four, stop crying. Verse 14, the Lord will fight for you, this is a translation, while you remain silent. Which means what? As long as we are, now listen, here, this one you never see before. I didn't see this until I read it again. Verse 15, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Where does it say Moses cried out to the Lord? The people cried out, yes. Moses cried out, we don't see that. So there's a big difference between whining and crying out to the Lord. Come on. When they were crying out to the Lord, they already had made up their minds, this is a bad deal. That's why the moment they cried out, they turned to Moses and said, why did you bring us into this place? Complaints will never follow a true cry and prayer to the Lord. Praises will always follow true praying and true crying out to the Lord. Come on. Huh? But whining, complaining, that's not a cry. Many whine to the Lord, but they don't really cry out to the Lord. So God was looking at the heart of Moses. Moses' heart was basically crying out. He didn't cry out like the people cried out, God, help me, God, save me. Loud prayers, not necessarily heard by God. But God looks on the heart. And Moses' heart was, I don't know what to do. How do I do this? He's used to leading great armies. Now he's leading a bunch of slaves. They've come to the end of the road. It's a cul-de-sac, the Red Sea, the front of the... How do I do this? There's a cry inside his heart. And God says, now you stop crying. There are certain times where God says, three times in the Bible, where God says, stop praying. Get up and start doing something. Why are you crying to me? But when you are silent, when you begin to say, God, I'm just going to trust you, and stop my whining. Stop the praying out of fear. Many prayers are surrounded, your minds are surrounded by the problem when you are praying. It is not filled with the presence and the greatness of God when we are praying. For when you pray by faith, you see the greatness of God. When you pray in fear, you are seeing the enemy. You are seeing all the things that are around about you. So may God shift us, take us out of our praying in fear and pray by faith. For if you ask anything by faith, it shall be given unto you. Come on, amen? All right, big difference between whining and crying to the Lord. God sees the heart, and he saw the heart of Moses. Number five, start functioning. Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. Earlier he said, stand still and be silent. Now he's saying, move forward. When he goes to the left, I will go to the left. When he goes to the right, I will go. When he says start moving, move. When he doesn't tell us to move, stand still. Don't panic. Don't let fear come and grip your heart. Stand still. If you don't feel, you know, what am I supposed to do? Don't do. Stay still. But when he says, all right, man, come on, get up and go. The moment the boundaries were opened First thing we did was drive back to our home. 2.5 months, never been to Sepang. Suddenly the borders are open, in the sense, borders, state borders, within the borders. I wish the whole borders were be open all. Guess where we will go? The beach was crowded because the people in Selangor cannot go to Port Dickson. So they come to Bagalalang, Sepang, right? Because open. The moment it was open, when we cannot go, stay still. Don't stay and complain, hey, yeah, cannot go anywhere, I want to go holidays, so cannot go, I want to go here, so cannot go anywhere, so I want to go. Still shops open, right? Still, people still went to shopping malls, right? Cannot go anywhere. What cannot go anywhere? Y'all went everywhere. Except that don't cross the border, lah. District don't cross, lah. But in your own district, when some even said, okay, federal highway can go all the way to KL. Because no police check. So the thing is, when he opens and he says, move, then move. Start functioning. Come on, amen. When God says move, then move. Knock on doors if doors seem to be closed. Try for new opportunities. When God shuts down something, stay for a while. Then when He opens, keep believing that God will open. Just said to somebody the other day, when God closes one door, He will always open another one. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me just close with Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 30. We know this so well. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. God wants to call us into a rest. The book of Hebrews says there is a rest for the people of God. And may our spirits not be so, you know, stirred and confused and in conflict all of the time. Find, encounter your deliverer in your dilemma. Encounter him. When you are faced with this, what shall I do? What shall I do? You know, you do not know. You feel like you're in a cul-de-sac, no way out. What shall I do? Encounter your deliverer in your dilemma. Can I hear an amen? Stand with me this morning. I'm going to bring this to a close. Musicians come.